Today, it is hot. Here on the East Coast, it feels like an oven with the heat and the humidity. Parts of Washington, D.C. hit 102 degrees yesterday. And, of course, it's not just the capital. The heat is spread across much of the country, and while the subway stinks more than usual, there are those people who are stuck in the heat all day. Construction workers, traffic police, street vendors, professional golfers wilting at the PGA Championship in Oklahoma, even sports mascots in giant bird costumes. You may not dress in feathers, but if you have a job outdoors in the heat, let us know how you deal. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can send us your stories on the blog as well. That's npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now is somebody who knows all about working in the heat, the bird, the mascot for the Baltimore Orioles. In the tradition of keeping mascots anonymous, we'll just call him Steve and refrain from using his last name. The Orioles bird joins us from his home in Baltimore, where he's preparing to perform at tonight's game against the Seattle Mariners. Nice to have you on the program, Steve.
Good afternoon, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. And that costume, well, it's not light, and boy, it's not cool, is it?
Not exactly, no. I'd like to dispel the rumor of that I've heard many times when people say, oh, he's fine, he's got an air conditioning system in there, cool in this temperature, and I can tell you that that is not the case.
So how hot does it get inside that incredibly heavy uniform?
That's a good question. I've heard various people say give different numbers. The one that I think is probably the most accurate is, depending on the activity that you're doing, how much you're running around, probably upwards of 20 degrees or more warmer than the outside temperature is what I've heard. I've always wanted to put a thermometer in there and just take a look at it at times, but I would think that that's probably fairly accurate. It gets definitely very hot in there.
You could work the thermometer into your act.
That could. Maybe I'll try that in the next big heat wave that we have here. I think that would be a good idea.
And when we say you're preparing for tonight's game, are you sitting on a block of ice?
No, but I've been drinking water and sports drink since I got up this morning. I try to eat several pieces of fruit prior to the game, certainly stretch an hour or so up before the game to make sure everything's good. Don't want to hurt myself in that way as well. And so it is really, in a lot of ways, when it really gets this hot, it is kind of a preparation thing. You really want to make sure you're well hydrated and that you've eaten some fruit and things like that so you don't go out there and get hurt in any way.
What do you wear underneath all those feathers?
Mm-hmm. Well, we try to keep loose-fitting clothing. You know, we have a T-shirt and kind of athletic shorts. We also have this kind of a hood thing that kind of sits over our head. It wraps around our head and neck and kind of over our shoulders. It helps disperse some of the sweat away from our face, and it actually works into keeping us a little bit cooler as well. So we definitely want to keep loose-fitting things on under there. We don't wear anything like ice packs or things like that. People have asked us about it. They usually end up, melting too fast. We've tried them. It just ends up being added weight then out there when you've been running around and you get tired when you've got like those gel packs and stuff around you. So just loose-fitting clothing is pretty much it.
And being a mascot is, I guess by definition, a high-energy job. You're supposed to be out there wowing them.
It is, yeah. I mean, you're really out there. You're on all the time, so to speak, And you really got to pay attention to yourself out there because you want to be performing for the fans, you want to be giving them a show, but you also got to be paying attention to yourself. If you're realizing that you're getting, that you're starting to get a little too hot in there, you want to get inside, you want to cool off. We want to be out there and perform as long as we can. Of course, the Orioles organizations, they want us out there, as much as we can, but they'll be the first to tell us, on a hot night, be careful out there. If you need to get in and get a break, do it.
Mm-hmm. And you do get a chance to run in, but it's generally a lot hotter down on the field level than it is even on the streets in Baltimore.
It can, yes. I mean, there have been times out there where we've had, thermometers down there. Some of the grounds crew people have out there measuring the temperature on the field, and sometimes it can be upwards of 10, 15, even sometimes a little bit warmer, degrees warmer than what it is on the outside temperature. So, yeah, sometimes on that field, especially on those Sunday afternoon games, as the day is building and that heat's been building up all out there, it can get pretty hot.
And I have to ask, is there just one bird costume? and how many years has it been used?
Well, no, there is more. I'm not the only performer of the mascot. I'm actually the guy that's been there right now. I've been there the longest of our current group. I've been there now for 6 years. There are a couple of other people that perform as well. Fortunately, we all have our own costume, and we have separate components of it. So we, multiple components, I should say. So like, several different of like the body skins and the gloves. So as they get, full of sweat and things like that, we can exchange them out and put on a fresh, dry one as we go in for a break, so we don't have to be wearing the same one out there the entire time we're there.
Nevertheless, I suspect by the end of the season, it gets pretty rank in there.
It does. Fortunately, not everybody's costume around the major leagues and football and all that really can be machine wash. Some of them have to be dry cleaned. Fortunately, the bulk of our equipment can actually go in the washer, and we just put it in front of a fan to dry out there. Actually, it usually lasts throughout the year, but usually every year at the end of the season, we have to get things replaced.
Okay, well, good luck tonight. It looks like a front is blowing through. It might be a little bit better than it was last night, which was brutal.
Yes, it was very brutal last night. We had a major storm just blow through Baltimore about an hour and a half ago, and it dropped the temperature considerably. So that's good news for us. So
all right.
Hopefully we'll do good tonight, and so will the Orioles.
All right, Steve, good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Steve performs as the bird for the Baltimore Orioles. He's been talking to us from his home in Baltimore. He'll be out at Camden Yards tonight to entertain between innings for the Baltimore-Seattle game. So, do you work outdoors? How do you deal with the oppressive heat? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. And let's start with Dennis. Dennis is with us from Auburn in New York.
Hey, Neil.
Hi.
I'm a private investigator, and I think I've got the worst of both worlds. I have to work outdoors, but I'm inside a car when I'm doing surveillances.
And
can't turn on the air conditioner, because when I do, that turns on some of the exterior lights, and that would be sort of a giveaway to my target that there's a guy sitting out there in a car.
or during the day, if you have a long stakeout, you're just going to run down your battery.
Well, there's that. I crack the windows a little bit. I sometimes feel like the dog that the people leave in the car with the windows rolled up, and they come out and they find the dog dead. I keep the windows rolled down just a little bit. I have a lot of water, and I'm looking into something called an ice vest. I know that some people that have to work in extreme heat wear those.
Are you on a case now? Are you staking somebody out and just listening to the radio to kill the time?
I was. I'm thankfully on my way home to my air-conditioned apartment, so I'm not doing too bad. But there are days when I leave a surveillance and I feel like a baked potato.
I bet. And Auburn, New York, upstate, but, well, it can get awfully hot up there.
Upstate, the weather here is extreme, as they say. If you want the weather to change, just wait 10 minutes. I cover Albany to Buffalo, so I cover pretty much east to west the whole state. So I have, 4-hour round trips plus an 8-hour surveillance. So I end up being in the car half a day, and about 8 of the hours I am pretty much suffering. I have not passed out yet, though, so
well,
that's what we'd be thankful for.
Good luck, Dennis, and hang in there.
Yeah, thanks, Neil.
Appreciate it. Here's an email we got from Libby on our blog. I grew up playing softball in Southwest Florida. In order to deal with 100-degree temperatures and unparalleled humidity, we used to place a cabbage leaf between our head and our hat. I don't know why it works, but it does. Every couple of innings, you traded out one leaf for another, and it kept the head cool, which in turn kept the rest of your body cool. So softball players have a solution. I wonder, Tiger Woods underneath that cap, you figure he's got a cabbage leaf? He did very well at the PGA in Tulsa, Oklahoma today. Let's see if we can talk with Jay. Jay's with us, calling us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
Love your show, have to tell you that.
Thank you that.
Yeah, I heard you mention a lot of jobs, but one job I think most people just really overlook because it's just so expected is the mailman.
The mail carrier, sure.
Yes. And let me tell you, it is hot, and when it's hot, there basically really is no way to stay cool. I mean, you can drink water, Gatorade or whatever, but especially down here, down south in Charlotte, it's mainly walking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think even construction workers have it better than us, because even when it's bad weather, raining weather, whatever, they get to not go to work.
Well, sometimes, but it seems to me that on a hot day, those concrete sidewalks just radiate the heat right into the soles of your shoes.
Yes, yes, and that's why we walk in the grass. you can't just walk on the concrete. It will. It's like you walk through hot pockets, And it's like, oh, my God, it's like there's no ozone layer right there, and you just got burnt up for a second.
And similarly, you walk into little tar patches, and your feet stick.
When it's this hot, it is just miserable. And like your previous caller, I mean, we're out here from, like, 10 o'clock in the morning to, like, 5, 6 o'clock, and we get the brunt of the heat all day. And so, to me, it's a great job, but it's also one of the most miserable jobs for inclement weather. Sometimes it's just unbearable.
Well, Jay, thanks very much for doing what you do, you and all the other mail carriers.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here's an email from Erica in Tempe, Arizona. Working as an archaeologist in Arizona, the summer months can be a brutal period of endurance. People often comment on how much fun the job could be with images of Indiana Jones and Lara Croft pistol-whipping bad guys and dodging boulders, if only it was that exciting. Excavating in the heat is like being cooked in an oven at low temperature, and when the breeze kicks up, it's akin to being embraced by a blast of a full-body hairdryer. Sunscreen, umbrellas, and cold water are the only way to combat such a thing. One trick: dip a handkerchief in ice-cold water and drape it over yourself, let dry, and repeat. It's an instant attitude adjustment. You're talking about the heat today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get, who is this? Jason on the line. Jason's with us from Florida.
Yeah, hey, Neil. Love your show.
Thank you.
The worst irony of a job is installing swimming pools and never getting to jump in them when they're constructed.
Oh, that must be awful. That must be awful.
It's hideous. You know, you deal digging in the dirt and the sand, and then you when you put the liner in, the liner burns your feet because it gets so hot from the sun baking it, and then you leave before the pool's full, and you never get to jump in and cool off.
And when you're digging holes, there's an inevitable cloud of dust that covers everything, which just makes everything so much better.
Exactly. It gets caked in your ears and up your nose, and when you take a shower, you're just seeing dirt everywhere.
But I would assume the people for whom you're building the swimming pool have a pitcher of ice-cold lemonade there ready for you.
Usually, yes. You could hope.
And you could duck inside to the air conditioning every once in a while.
No, not really. You got two or three pools a day, so you got to hustle them out and get done.
Are you in between jobs?
No. Oh, right now? Well, yeah. We just finished one, so we're driving to the next one.
All right. Good luck with it, Jason. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we could get... this is Jesse. Jesse's calling from Old Lyme in Connecticut.
Yes, up on a ladder painting away.
Uh-huh. Painting away on a ladder.
Yeah, we are lucky to have a break in the humidity today. It's actually rather comfortable. But not only out here do you have to worry about the human condition, you also have to worry about your paint, which flashes under extreme heat and sun.
When you say flashes, does that mean what I think it means?
Well, what I mean, nothing to do with Del Fuego, let's say. It really what happens is if you're painting a line and it dries on you, before you can complete your line, you're going to see lap marks from brushing. So you're basically beating the clock as well as the heat. I like to freeze Gatorade at night before the start of the workday, and as the day progresses, it stays nice and cold until it eventually thaws completely, and by then you're pretty much done with your Gatorade.
And do you take it up on the ladder with you on a tool belt or something?
No, I use that as an excuse to get off the ladder. But I can relate to your archaeologist, right? I think part of my conditioning was living in Tempe, which I can definitely relate to that. Living now back in the Northeast, you hear people complaining about 85 and humid, and you're looking at them like, I guess you've never heard of monsoon season. So
down in Arizona and those kinds of places.
The feeling of a hairdryer blowing against your face, I mean, that was until November. I think it was late November before you'd feel your first nice cool breeze in Tempe.
Right.
So out here in the Northeast, it's all relative. Granted, it's more humid, but it really is an oven in Arizona from what I remember.
All right, Jesse, thanks very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's now talk with, this is Nick, and Nick's calling us from McCall in Idaho.
That's right. It's actually so hot here. It's a disaster area. There are forest fires all over where I'm working on a government survey crew, the National Forest Boundary. And we're actually not allowed to do our job. Our job is, you know, chainsaw through the wilderness. And we aren't allowed to use our chainsaws after 1 o'clock because we can start forest fires. What kind of limits what we can do? But out here to keep cool, I mean, it's just glass. Stop in the stream, fill your hat full of water, and dump it over your head.
And, well, the streams don't come all that often, though.
but, you know, you really appreciate them when you find them.
Uh-huh. And when it's that dry, and I guess it's got to be dry for fire conditions, you know, people say, well, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. Well, after a certain time, it's the heat.
It's the heat, but it's also the smoke. You don't even realize it until you're in an area with, you know, 15, 20 forest fires all over the place. But, you know, the smoke will kind of start to smother you. Your allergies get bad. My work partner out here has probably sneezed about 150 times today. And it just that starts to wear you out after a little while.
Hmm. What do you do to pass the time?
You know, listen to the radio. And no, we also march through the forest doing the non-chainsaw things, you know, putting up boundary signs and all that sort of stuff.
Well, thanks very much.
Not quite as bad.
Not quite as bad. And like the mail carrier before, thanks to you and your colleagues for what you do.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Nick calling us from McCall in Idaho. Well, tomorrow it's Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here. We'll be back with you on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Stay cool. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.